ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 65. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. 1,438 times the word for conscience here is mentioned, and the actual word for iniquities is only mentioned 93 times. Isn't that crazy? You commit one sin, and it keeps pounding you. Why is it that some people look so pinched in their face? Well, if you were being smacked all day long, you'd feel pinched too. Don't hit me, right? People are being beaten up by their conscience, but I want you to know there's a day of atonement that's already taken place. And if you'll come to the Lord and you'll get that account current, the Bible says if we as believers confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Suddenly, I can relax. And you can too. And the psalmist is reveling in that. He says, the matter of my iniquities have prevailed against me. As for our transgressions, he says, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed, verse 4, is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. But what he's talking about here, blessed is the man that you cause to approach and to dwell in your courts. How cool is that? We want to go right in to the Holy of Holies. You know, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Enter in, you know. Jesus went in, now you come boldly. He invites you to come boldly. But you can't come boldly as a lost person. You have to come boldly as a saved person. When you're saved, you're the one the Lord chose. Now you say, well, I believe in election. Well, you kind of got to go work that out with God, because the fact is God chose everybody. God is not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He chose that those who came would be taken the next step and they would be brought right into His courts. You cause them to dwell in your courts. Now, I want to give you a couple verses for those who get caught up in the election thing. These are just for your encouragement. How does God choose? Well, He chose before the foundation of the world, but that doesn't mean He elected some to be damned and some to be saved. The Bible is clear about election. The Bible says we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. He knew what would happen, and He decided we're going to let this go on and happen. It's sort of like the concept of you and I saying, well, you know what? I know if I go into that burning building, I might die. I might get hurt. I might get burnt. But my kid's in there, and you ain't stopping me. And God says, I know if I let this thing unfold, I know that Dave will believe. And I'm going to let this whole thing, I'm going to let it unfold. Just to get to them, because I know there's going to be some debris, some what we might call collateral damage that's going to happen. But there are people like you who are here today who know Jesus. And He says, I have chosen to let it go on. And I chose. The Bible talks about this foreknowledge thing again in Romans chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, God hath not cast away His people whom He foreknew. You know, the Scripture knew what would happen with Israel. It knew what Abraham would do. And Abraham would win Isaac, and Isaac would win Jacob. He knew that there would be such a culture. He knew that there would be such a dynamic in that family that they would really pass the faith on. Would to God. Would to God we would pass the faith along, right? I mean, that's what we're here for. We're not here just to get a picket fence and a couple of nice cars and have a good job and have a bank account that makes us feel secure. That's all gravy. What I'm talking about is the task, the job. Abraham, God knew. He says, I know Abraham. He will teach his children and they will believe. And you and I need to pass that faith along like that. He says, God had not cast away His people which He foreknew, and He knew that they would come to a place of parched ground, but He also knew that they would once again become a sunny place as they are this day. Romans 8:29 says, for whom God did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. My point for you is, He foreknew. And then He predestined. And you and I are not elect on some haphazard, random thing. God is awesome. He sees you. He sees me. He knows what's in you. He knows what's in me. And for those of us that would choose Him, if He gave us the opportunity, we did. But some won't. And they are without excuse. And they're not damned because God chose them to be. They are damned because they chose to be. people who reject Jesus will go to hell. That truth is still true today. We make no apologies for God's word. He says hell is everlasting punishment where people will have no rest day or night. The Bible talks about it being like falling, shrieking. It's going to be like falling in darkness without being able to stop. You would want to get away. You can't. I'm just telling you, Scripture is settled. You cannot break it. As much as they try, you cannot break the Scriptures. The Bible says, blessed, though, is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. They're waiting outside in verse 1. He says, blessed is the man who gets to go on in. You know what God's made us? A kingdom of priests unto our God. We get to go in. We get to go in. Not only that, we're His children, so it's even better than that. Okay, we get to go on into the Holy of Holies. We don't just get to go in and work as priests. We're sons and daughters of God. The Bible says we shall be satisfied. I like that. The obvious word connection would be sated. It means you're so sated. It's like a baby who's just nursed. You ever seen a baby nursing and suddenly they're all done and they're like, oh. They're it's all over their face, right? They're just, their heads wobbling. They're just sated. Okay? Totally, totally sated. That's what God does to the believer. You're not sitting around saying, man, I hope there's some more. You're thinking, oh, I've had so much. This is the greatest day ever. I don't care about tomorrow. I'm good. Okay? You're good today. God is good today. And He'll be good tomorrow. Because He was good yesterday, He'll be good forever. And because we know that our faith compounds and our faith builds, He was good yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we get it. We get it. So we're satisfied. We should be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. He says, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God. He's the God who hears prayers. He's the God who answers prayers. You see it? And He says, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God. What terrible thing? What's that mean? Awesome things. Terrible in the sense of awesome. You can't see that verse without thinking of the cross. Right? I mean, Jesus went to the cross. He was the perfect Son of Almighty God. He was not only Son of God, He was God the Son. His name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was God with us. And terrible, like terrible things you're going to answer us. You're going to answer us. What terrible things? Well, the Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, the whip, the cat of nine tails, with His stripes, we're healed. Terrible things. Terrible things. But He answered. Because we all had that ball of iniquity. We all had that backpack of sins we were throwing more in. We were all weighted down, but Jesus, through terrible things, saved us. The Bible says, by terrible things in righteousness. Because God had to judge our sin. And Jesus said, I will go for them. And He took our sins. So now God is just to let us in. Because somebody paid for that. He is just and the justifier of all who believe. The Bible says, not only does He answer us, it says, ye also are the confidence, in verse 5, of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off. And I don't have time to go into all this, but man, afar off, that's what we were. We were the Gentiles. They were the Jews. We were way out there. Ephesians talks about a middle wall of partition even inside of Israel. We couldn't get closest to Jewish man. Even when we were in the city, we couldn't get as close. We were far off. The Bible says, and them that are far off upon the sea. You say, well, He's talking about not land, He's talking about sea. But the talks about the sea in other places. Look down a little bit further when He talks about the water. We'll see it in verse 7. He says, you still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, Look at the next phrase. And the tumult of the people. Those that are afar off are in the sea of humanity. We talk about the sea of humanity. The book of Revelation talks about a great harlot sitting upon a great beast in the midst of the sea, with the nations, peoples, and tongues that worship the beast. What is my point? God silences, and this is something to remind ourselves. He silences the noise of the tumult of the people in verse 7. You know, our world right now is crying for blood against anybody who believes in marriage between a man and a woman, who believes in differences between men and women, who believes just basic, normal stuff. Normal stuff. And you and I are being told through our constant stream of propaganda that these things are not necessarily true anymore. Certain states and certain countries even have allowed themselves to become part of that nonsense that champions putting on the birth certificates, a wait till later we'll let you know clause. You don't have to put down male or female because you're so progressive. You can put down, we'll wait, and when they decide, we'll tell you. No. It's obvious. And they're without excuse. But it's a tumult because there's a lot of uproar that's going on. And people are bustling against Almighty God. And you and I are getting caught up in it because sometimes we're afraid to say the right thing, even though it's so obvious, as they say, as the nose on your face. Verse 8 says, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. I mentioned again the tokens. What are the tokens? They're the signs. They're the waymarks. It's like if I gave you directions, say, go down here to the Warrior restaurant, turn left, go in and get a good pizza. You say, I get it. The Warrior pizza, I'm there. You know, you might have missed it if you're a guy. You might have ordered pizza and forgot what I said. You know, got to focus, guys. It's good pizza down there. What I'm saying is that the waymark, you know, you say, go down and there's this big place. It's a mall. Turn right. There's a Burger King. Now I've lost you completely. All I'm saying is that that's what the signs of God are. He gives them to you all the time. He's letting you see the world go off the rails. He's letting you watch it slowly implode, fold in on itself. There's no way it can work what they're saying. It cannot work. It's going to fall apart. The Jenga tower is too high. You take one more thing out, what's going to happen? The economy will fail, whatever. And you know what? God will still be good. He will. He's always good. And what I want you to get in your mind's eye here is he says those people are afraid down in their core. They know they're playing with fire. But they do it anyway. And I think for you and me, we live in a very crazy time if we are honest with ourselves. So he's been really dealing with a lot of things, but he's been, first of all, reflecting, right? He's been doing some reflection on the realities that he has just witnessed in those feasts. But now he's going to do some projection. A little bit more deliberately. He says, you visit the earth, verse 9, and water it. You greatly enrich it with the river of God. And you underline the words river of God. It's not just the rivers, it's the river of God. Because now he's projecting. He realizes there's something more than this reality. And that river of God, where that really connects for us, is in Psalm 46. It says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And then in Revelation 22, it says, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's in the New Jerusalem. The psalmist in Psalm 46 knew there was one. Revelation 22, John saw it. Okay? This river is the one that makes glad the hearts of the people of God. Do you know, no matter what comes down here, Day of Atonement's been done. Jesus has paid for our gift of eternal life. He has atoned for our sin.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.